my name is Olivia Reiner. It's November 28th, and I'm interviewing my great-grandfather. Can you introduce yourself?
I'm Richard Crum. I live in Frankfort, in or Michigan Town, Indiana. I've lived in Indiana in this neighborhood all my life. I was drafted in the Marine Corps in 1943 during World War II. I served overseas for 26 months. I made 3 landings on different islands. I was on the island of Iwo Jima when the flag went up. Most people know about that. And the war ended in September 1945. I was lucky enough, I got home on the day before Christmas in 1945.
We are interviewing over the phone because I'm in Los Angeles, California, and he's in Michigan Town, Indiana. Okay. Where did you grow up?
In Michigan Town, Indiana.
And what professions did most people go into after college or when they were older?
Well, in my neighborhood, most of them went into farming. It was a farming neighborhood. There were some that went into teaching, went to college and became school teachers.
What did you want to do?
I wanted to farm.
So what led you to decide to be in the military, or what led you to join the military?
Well, I was drafted. It was wartime. And people were drafted, and I was drafted, and I volunteered to join the Marine Corps. We had a choice of whether we want what branch of service we wanted to go to, and I volunteered for the Marine Corps.
Where were you sent for training, and what was your experience there?
I went to San Diego, California, to the Marine Recruiting Depot, and I enjoyed it, to be quite honest, the training part of it. They were very strict, but it was all for a good reason. And then I went to signal school after boot camp for 6 weeks, and then we shipped out for the Pacific. I was aboard ship for 147 days in 2.5 years. And we made 3 landings off the ship. And then the war ended in 1945. I was on the island of Guam in the Pacific when the war ended. And I didn't get back to the States then until December of 1945.
So when did you find out where you're going to be deployed? Where was that, and how did you feel?
Repeat that, can you please?
When did you find out where you were going to be deployed? Where were you deployed, and how did you feel?
Well, it's kind of hard to explain how you feel. You just accept what is going to, or what you had to do. But we didn't find out where we were going or where we were going to land next until about 2 or 3 days before we got there. That was so that the enemy wouldn't find out where we were coming. And I don't know whether I can explain how I felt. You just accept what you've got to do. ended and everything was chaotic for a while. Mm-hmm. Until we got some control of where we were. Any other?
Mm-hmm. So, where were you first deployed?
Where?
Yeah.
Well, the first island I went to was called New Caledonia. Almost, you know where New Zealand is?
Yeah.
Just north of New Zealand.
Anywhere else?
And then we went from there to an island called Guadalcanal.
Mm-hmm.
And we set up a base there after Guadalcanal was secured.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a small island in that same group. It was called Bougainville. We went in there and secured that.
Mm-hmm.
The 3rd Division. When I say we, it's the 3rd Division.
Okay.
3rd Marine Division.
Mm-hmm.
And then we set up a camp on Guadalcanal. Because you have to resupply.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to replace those who have been killed or wounded. And then we went from there to Guam. Well, about 4 or 5 months after we got done at Guadalcanal and Bougainville, we went to Guam and landed on Guam in June of 1944. And after we got that island secured, we build a base there. Main thing we were taking these islands for was not only to get the enemy off of them, but we needed air bases. Because we had that place for the air bombers and the fighter planes to come in and refuel. And so we landed after we got Guam secured. They built an airfield there. Most of them had air bases on, but they had to be repaired because it had been damaged.
Mm-hmm.
And then we stayed on Guam till it was secured and we got a base built and got our resupplied. Then we went to the island called Iwo Jima. That was the first island in World War II that was taken. That was by the American troops.
Mm-hmm.
That was a part of Japan proper. Japan is made up of many islands.
Mm-hmm.
That was the most costly of all of them that we took at that time. We had 6,400 some that were killed on the island. We had 22,000 killed or wounded.
That's horrible.
And that's where they raised the flag that is commemorative of World War II.
So, what lessons did you learn from fighting on the battlefield or from other people in the military with you?
Well, I suppose the most important thing I learned was that you have to look after yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has to. We all worked together and helped one another or looked after one another. But mainly you have to look after yourself. Because everybody else is in the same situation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a, I guess you'd call it the team way. don't know. It's kind of hard to explain how you feel after you've been there for a while. It all kind of, you just do what you have to do at the way the situation is at the particular time. No, that's okay.
Oh. How did these lessons shape the rest of your life?
Pardon?
How did these lessons shape the rest of your life?
Well, it sure does, but I don't know whether I can really explain it. You have to work together.
Mm-hmm.
You help others and others help you. And you look after if someone got hurt on the battlefield, you was there to do what you can to help them at that particular time. And I suppose I'd say one of the main things I learned that if people need help, well, you reach out to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they will to you.
Yeah. Are there any moments you have never forgotten and never will forget from fighting?
Do what now?
Are there any moments you have never forgotten or will never forget from your time in the military?
No, not really. Some of the incidents that happened. I might give you an example. Would that be all right?
I think so.
Well, I was on, I don't know. When you're in combat, sometimes you don't get any sleep or you don't get much to eat for maybe 2 or 3 days. And eventually you have to have what they call a bivouac area where you, so many get to go back of the night behind the line to get some rest and get some sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I got picked to be on guard duty one night for what they call a bivouac area. Of course, they're all sleeping on the ground in wrapped up in what they call it. I can't think what they call it now.
It's poncho. Okay. Oh, okay.
You slept with a poncho. If you had one, that was your cover. Then I got picked to go on guard that night, and I sat against a tree in case they charged again.
Mm-hmm.
And they told me to sit. I could sit down. Usually, when you get guard duty, you have to stand or walk a guard. And in combat, when it was out, the officer that posted me on my post out there said you can sit down, but as the moon changes, we'll move around the tree, and don't stand up because it would make a silhouette. So if somebody was looking that way, it shouldn't be. Well, you would be a target.
Hmm.
And we did that. Well, the rest of them were sleeping, but about 3 o'clock in the morning, the Japanese charged again. And about, as soon as somebody fired, everybody was awake and ready to go again. I suppose that's the most... Or one of the times, I'll put it that way.
Seems scary. Yeah. So, what did you do after your time in the military?
Well, for a year, I drove a truck hauling mm-hmm. prefab houses. That's pre-assembled houses.
Mm-hmm.
For a year. And then I started farming. I worked in a factory for a little while, and then I started farming.
Was that, did you farm at the farm we still own today?
Did what?
Did you farm at the farm that is still there today?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so thank you so much.
Yeah. Are you at home?